I pray that I may speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Past year's been a hard one for young people, hasn't it? Schooling disrupted, exams in chaos, separation from friends and grandparents, clubs, activities, and fun. For students, university may be a shadow of what it could be, and still no certain end in sight. A hard year for young people to find security in their lives, about how things are going to turn out. Security around relationships and plans. Security in that sense of who they are and what the future might contain. Being young, it seems to me, was a challenging experience in 2019, in our ever-changing, restless world where nothing seems to stay the same for long. But didn't 2020 bring a whole new dimension of insecurity? Not just to young lives, of course, but the impact on minds and souls of the COVID upheaval will last for longest on those who endured it earliest. Who am I? What does my life mean? Where do I find purpose, direction, and value? Questions some young people are sadly finding it hard to answer, and which all of us puzzle over from time to time. Questions which the last hard months have raised painfully for so many. And into that context, we heard this morning the story of Samuel and his calling. That lovely story which is so beautiful to read and share and explore with children, but which can speak to any age or stage of life. Because in that story, Samuel discovers the Lord. After puzzling and confusion, after muddle and mistake, Samuel finds the relationship and guidance that will sustain him for his lifetime. We meet young, vulnerable Samuel, separated from the security of mother and father. His tiny life seems fragile and perhaps of little account. But as he turns to the voice which addresses and captivates him, as he invites the Lord's message into his life, saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," he finds relationship, purpose, meaning for his existence, which will accompany him through all his days. But you know, there's another calling too in this famous story. And I found myself pondering the figure of Eli as I reflected on it this past week. Eli. He's late middle-aged in our terms. That means very old for 1000 BC. He's knocked about the world for quite a while, like a decent number of us here today. He's kept faith with the Lord, or tried to. He's kept the lamp of God burning, albeit sometimes fitfully. But like us, perhaps, his life has been a mixture of faithfulness and error, of wisdom and mistakes. Eli hasn't triumphed as a father. His sons have gone off the rails. And the worship of the shrine at Shiloh is a little bit ropey, let's be fair. Eli might wonder, what am I for now? Who am I at this moment? What ongoing purpose do I serve? He might speculate that the story of his life is ending with a whimper, as his final chapter peters out blindly into nothing. But the Lord is a God of second chances and third and fourth opportunities. He is a God of grace and recreation. For all his flaws and fallibility, faithful Eli has a role and a purpose for these final paragraphs of his life. He is to nurture and guide young Samuel. Eli is to mentor God's servant and point him towards the Lord. The new prophet's calling refreshes the vocation of the old priest. For our lives need a story, don't they? If they are really to hang together, if they're truly going to make sense and find fulfillment. We need a narrative that makes life more than a series of random, uncontrollable, unconnected events that blow us this way and that. We need a story with a beginning of some security, a direction and purpose for the middle, and a destination and hope before us, beckoning at its end. Don't we need a story to stop life turning into empty confusion? And there are, of course, many stories we might adopt. The popular story of the moment is that we are each our own authors. We plot our own narratives. We create the drama for our own lives. As the poem Invictus puts it, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Or more demotically from the Rolling Stones, "I'm free to do what I want any old time. I'm free to be who I choose any old time." And this might well sound like freedom. Indeed, if you've lived under the cosh of a tyrant, or an oppressive religion, or an authoritarian government, it would sound like liberation. But maybe not forever. For what happens if the story doesn't turn out as we planned? If the novel we try to write doesn't become as glorious and radiant as we'd intended? Can we bear the responsibility of disappointment and disillusion? If we are the masters of our fate and the captains of our soul, surely that responsibility is ours. And moreover, if life is just a series of limitless personal choices, do any of those decisions mean all that very much? Can there be such a thing to be found as a truly good life if I am just free to do any old thing, any old time? Well, if we and the young people of our days are seeking a richer story for our lives, then the scriptures had a precious word to speak to us this morning and every day. Psalm 139 told us of our origins in the initiative and love of God, of the way that he is over us and around us, behind us and before us, from the time that preceded our birth, even to the time after the end of our lives. And the book of Revelation pointed us to our ultimate promise and hope. Not the horror of the shade that Invictus describes, but the joy and blessing of God's eternal praise. And in the meantime? Well, we have met the way and the truth and the life that leads us there. Christ himself, who says, "Follow me." And in that daily following of Jesus, we step towards God with meaning and purpose in our lives. Whether we resemble intelligent Philip, or enthusiastic Andrew, or unreliable Peter, or dry, wry Nathaniel, it doesn't matter. Our calling is unique. Our calling is shared. And it is often a quotidian business of loving God as we say our prayers, trying to love our neighbours as we seek justice and the peace of the kingdom for our world. It's a life of everyday ordinariness, confessing sins, seeking God's grace, and rejoicing in his simple gifts and delights with thanksgiving and hope. But it can give us that ultimate security and assurance. Like Samuel, like Eli, that in all the twists and turns of our stories, We're part of the Lord's story. A story that ends with hope and heaven, with life and love.